this morning again, let's go back into the three principles: mind, consciousness, and thought. Now, somebody asked me yesterday, why did you pick these particular things? Well, I didn't pick them. They picked me. Because it just is. And if you really look at it very, very carefully, one at a time, nothing in this world can exist without those three principles. These three principles, the creator experience here on earth. Because from the cradle to the grave, our entire experience through life is a psychological experience. And this is what we should work on. And this is for everybody. It's not just psychologists. The reason I'm saying psychological experience is because it comes through your psyche. And your psyche is your soul. That's another name for it. So we can work on there. Now, I know some people that say, well, how come there's only three? Well, there's only three because that's the Trinity. That's the complete ballgame, put it that way. Now, I know somebody that found a fourth. And the fourth, they said, was emotion. Now, how can you possibly have an emotion without a thought? How can you have an emotion without a mind? How can you have an emotion without being conscious so you can wipe that out? Then I heard that there's another person that has found seven. So it's getting worse. They're getting away from the simplicity of the Trinity. Go back to there. Now another way to express this is, let me see. You know how in science you have elements, and it takes two or more elements to create a compound? Well, that's the same with your psyche, because you could call those three principles three elements, three psychological elements, and you take those elements and you create compounds. And compounds would be things like distrust, greed, jealousy, hate, envy, or it could be love, caring, sharing. They're all compounds. And if we can take those three elements and change them into psychological positive compounds, then we see a positive life. And I'll tell you something. No matter what anybody else in this world says, there is only three, and there always will be only three. Because they are the three elements that create our experience here on earth. Now, I've got $20 in my pocket. And if anybody in this room can come out with another element, it's yours. Now, I'm a Scotsman. So I'm using these three elements for safety, and I just created an insecure feeling. I've changed my mind. I'll give you $1. It's all thought. Everything we do, all our emotions, all our feelings, all our desires, everything is all created from thought. Thought is the missing link that everybody in this world is looking for. If If you can find the secret to thought, you can start walking through this life as a happy person. Because all you do is you take those three elements and you create positive thoughts, positive compounds. Well, I was taking a risk there, wasn't I? $20. I'm even shocked right now. Now, if you can take those three elements, mind, consciousness, and thought, and explain it to people, how their thoughts lead to their reactions in life, then you can save a human being. You can change a family. You can change a marriage. You can change teenagers. You can change anybody in the world if they hear even a little bit of the secret of mind, consciousness, and thought. You can, right now, you can forget all about mind and all about consciousness. And let's just work on thought. Thought alone will do it. Because remember, thought, consciousness, and mind are all the same thing. So just change your thoughts. And if you leave this, I see right now everybody's in a very, very happy mood. Because within yourself, you must have had something to put you in a better mood. And a better mood is an elevation of consciousness. That's all it is. And when your mood changes, your consciousness has dropped to a lower level of understanding. And if you see that happening, please don't try and figure it out. You'll just waste your time. All you have to do is to realize your thoughts have dropped to a lower level of understanding. Only your thoughts. And when that happens, you go back up to where you started. It's always thought. You know, that happens with me too. I drop in a level of consciousness, and sometimes I get a little bit put off at somebody or something, and I have a great guide, it's Judy. And she'll say, Sid, remember what you preach? And I'm back to thought again, and it's gone. Because it's these three elements that weave the life that you're going to lead. And I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care who you are, what condition it is. If you can take those three elements and find out how they work, your life will change. Your life will change to the better. That is an absolute. These three elements, they create the condition of this universe. These three elements, they create all social conditions. They create all religions. They create all beliefs. Everything is created from these three elements. Principles, whatever you want to call them. You see how you've always got a chance to change your mind. You can change the word, but it doesn't change truth. Now you can spit out what you think is truth, and maybe 2 years later you look back and say, well, that's old fashioned. Well, it wasn't truth. Because truth never changes. Truth just is. It's here with us right now. This whole world is created from what is called truth. And truth can never, never, never be explained. It can only be talked about. And no matter how much you talk, if you're talking to somebody that's not receptive, you can talk till hell freezes over and it won't make any difference. You have to be ready to hear truth. And people say, well, how do I get ready? Nobody can tell you that, but it's up to you to get ready. And all it is opening your mind to new horizons, to new beliefs. And it's really amazing how people, even in desperate situations, people are destitute. They're not willing to change their mind. It's not their fault. That's just the way it is. But whenever you are ready to listen to truth, I guarantee 100% the right person or the right book or the right tape will appear and you'll hear it. Because truth is everywhere. It's in every library. It's in every bookstore. It's in every school. It's in every church. All over the world. It's there. I've walked through the grocery store for the checkout, and I've heard the clerk talk pure truth. They might not even know they're doing it, but they're talking pure truth. You hear it everywhere. So it's not hiding from you. It's you that's hiding from it. What I'm saying right now, everybody hears it different. If you walk out that door and you look at the ocean, everybody will see it different. If you hear music, everybody will hear it different. We have the freedom of thought. And that is one of the most valuable things on this earth, is your freedom of thought. And nobody can take it away from you. Nobody. You always live there. And then it's up to you to raise your standard of seeing. You know how the mystics talk about seeing and seeing? Well, you've got to lift your standard of seeing. And to lift your standard of seeing, you've got to lift your level of consciousness. To lift your level of consciousness, another way to say that is lift your level of understanding. You know, I heard of this fellow once, and he was in jail a couple of times because he was writing bum checks. And this man had a terrible life. He struggled and struggled, and he was afraid that the police were going to catch him, and finally they did, and they put him in jail. He got out, and he did the same thing again. And this friend of mine said to him, you know, you're wasting all this energy. You've got all this talent. He was a con man. Now, why don't you stop writing those stupid checks and use the talent the good Lord gave you and put it straight, and you could be a millionaire. You could be a success. Bingo. The penny drops. He went to jail for writing a check for $600. He went through all that hell of worrying and struggling and hiding. Now, if he'd done it legitimately and used his free will and these three principles that he was born with, he could have put it into a positive direction. And instead of making 600, he could have made goodness knows how much money. But he didn't see that. He was lost. He was innocent. He was lost. And lostness is innocence. And that's when you start to talk as therapist to people, or preacher, or no matter who you are. If you start talking to people, you have to see beyond their words. And sometimes when you listen to somebody, you hear deeper than you've ever heard before. This is where you'll see the innocence in the person. We all go astray, one way or another. We get envious. We get jealous. We get spiteful. You take those three things, trace them. Where would it lead to? They would lead to you never having peace of mind. Because no matter where you go, there'll always be somebody better than you. There'll always be somebody wealthier than you. There'll be always be somebody more talented than you. And if you live in that state, all your life, you're walking through this world and you're envious, you're jealous, you're spiteful, you're hateful. And you have to, your mind gets all churned up. And you go through what is called hell. And believe me, hell is not what a lot of people think it is. Hell is a contaminated mind and suffering. And if you take that suffering away, you will take a person from hell and the possibility to put them into a heavenly state here on earth. That's the way it works. It never changes. It's so simple. And I know all your minds are going, they're trying to figure it out. You'll never figure it out. And as I said the other day, if you hear something that you say, wow, this will help me in my work, and you start thinking about it, and I'm still talking, you're going to miss it. Take the feeling that you've found, and just trust that feeling will guide you. And when you walk outside, see, if you have an insight, let's put it this way. If you have an insight, that means to say you've touched your inner wisdom. And common sense has come to mind. Now, when this happens, it makes your mind tranquil. It puts it into the state of meditation. This is why people meditate. A tranquil mind. A tranquil mind can never be found when there's those horrible thoughts in your head. And these horrible thoughts, all they are, thoughts. And people say, well, it's not that simple. It can't be. I've even had people say to me, you know, Sid, you're insulting my intelligence by talking the way you're talking because it's too simple. Well, if they want, I could make it difficult. But what's the sense? You look for simplicity. Simplicity always holds the key you're looking for. And that key that opens the door to wisdom is what you would call divine thought. Divine thought is when your personal mind, your personal thoughts go to sleep. And in its place comes this divine thought. This is why Buddha said, the greatest state that any human being can be is the state of no thought. Now that sounds like a paradox. The state of no thought. But it's very simple. What it is, there is no thought from the personal mind. Because you can't even know existence without divine thought. And if you take the personal thought away, all is left is divine thought. There you have the answer. That's where you go from the form to the formless. And when you go from the form to the formless, you find the answer. You go back to the form with the answer, and you help humanity. You help yourself. You help humanity, because no matter where you go, you will be walking through this world with a clear, open mind, willing to help any human being in the world. And just being you would help humanity. So always try and do your best. Always try and help people. Always try and understand people. Always try and have some compassion for people. And I know sometimes it's difficult because your patience is stretched to the limit. You know, you're saying to somebody, don't hit your head against that wall. You'll really hurt yourself. And they'll say, I know that. And they keep hitting themselves. You've got to put it into action. Thought on its own is completely neutral. Consciousness on its own is completely neutral. Mind on its own is completely neutral. It's what you, with your free will, do with them that puts life into it. And whatever you put into those three principles, it will create your reality. This is why the mystics of the world throughout time have always talked about separate realities. We all live in separate realities. And you have to realize this and accept it. And the idea of life, you see, you're born purity of thought, purity of mind. The second you're born, you see the physical reality. That physical reality is the contamination. That's why the ministers, the priests, they'll tell you that there's no such thing as a human being being perfect. Only God is perfect. Because God is the universal intelligence of all things before the contamination of human thought. So never look for perfection, because you'll never find it. And another, a lot of people say, well, I had those evil thoughts, I had those bad thoughts. A thought is useless unless you put life into it. And if you can take this, if you get a bad thought, as long as you don't react on it and put it into action, it doesn't do anybody any harm. Because it's completely neutral. It's when you see, if I say to myself, I think I'll rob that bank tomorrow, and I get my gun and I get my car and I get all the rest of it, and I never do anything about it, I haven't done any harm. It's when I put into action. And it's the same with everything in life. Every day of your life, you must put action into your thoughts for them to become alive. And if you have bad thoughts and you don't do anything about it, you're okay. Because nobody in the world can stop a bad thought coming into their head. If there's people here that tell me they never have bad thoughts, well, I'll sell you a piece of property as soon as the tide goes out. Any more questions, please?
Could you please give your thoughts on the relationship between awareness and mind, thought, and consciousness?
Okay. We're using two words there. Awareness and consciousness are the same thing, with different words. So what you're actually saying is, how can you explain awareness with awareness? They're both the same thing. Don't get caught up in words. It's consciousness or awareness are the same thing. Consciousness, awareness, and understanding are the same thing. There's three words meaning the same thing. Consciousness, awareness, and the ability to understand are the same thing. Consciousness is just an understanding. It's a level of understanding. Now, we all live on different levels of understanding. There's that separate reality again. We all live in separate levels of consciousness. See, I'm saying the same thing. Remember the other day I said it's really boring because we're saying the same thing. Go beyond the words. Listen for a feeling and you'll understand. You must go beyond the words. The word has nothing to do with it. The word is a guide. Now you go to India and you find a wise guru or whatever, and they start talking. What they're doing is they're pointing the way. You go to church and you listen to whoever you're following, whether it be Christ, Buddha, Allah, I don't care. They're pointing. And they're saying, this is the way. This is the way. And they all say the same thing. There is only one way. And that one way may come out in a different form, but it is always one way. And the one way is to look within. Because that is the only way you will ever find wisdom. It's to look within your own consciousness, your own self, your own soul, because your own soul is pure consciousness. Your own soul, really, in reality, is what a lot of people call God. That's why a lot of people say, I am that which I seek. And when you can find the secret to that, you've got it. Because everybody is what they're looking for. Everybody is a divine consciousness created into a form, a physical form, walking through this physical world. Everybody, every animal, every living creature stems from mind, consciousness, and thought. Animals do the same. Animals think, they have consciousness, and they have a mind, just like you. But because you're a human being, you have the capabilities beyond the animal to go back to where you stem from, and that is back into the spiritual reality before form. And before form lies all the answers. And the only way you can go back before form is to look within. Any more questions?
Where does evolution come?
Universal mind is the intelligence of all things which you call God. The mortal mind is your impression of life. Let's put it that way. And it evolves. You know how they talk about evolution? They have the Darwinian evolution. And you hear the two segments of life fighting because one say no, it's not Darwinian, it's the spiritual. Well, the Darwinian evolution is just animals and ourselves growing and changing to suit whatever the environment is. Now, the spiritual evolution is the evolution of the human mind. And we evolve, we raise our level of consciousness, and we raise the level of understanding through our mind, and there is no end to this evolution. You just keep changing. You can never come to the end. And if people say, I've got it, that's it, they're joking. They're kidding themselves. And remember I said the other day, if you do have an insight, and your level of consciousness rises, that means to say you've found a new understanding of life, a different way to survey life. When you walk out that door, keep it that way, and don't go back to your old. Look at life with your newfound understanding, and when you do that, that life out there will change because you've found a new understanding. It's like when I used to look at life, I used to think life was awful. It was a pit. I just didn't like life too well. And I figured that, well, this is the way I was born. This is the way I was brought up. There's nothing I can do with it until I die, and maybe hopefully the next time I'll have another try at it. And I was really wrong. I was so wrong. You can change in one split second way beyond the wisest person on earth. You can jump ahead. And this is what I call jumping the boundaries of time. People think it's time. They say, okay, it's going to You walk in and somebody says, oh, you really messed up. I've heard this, believe me. You're really messed up. I can see at least 20 years of therapy ahead of you. In your head, you believe that it's going to take 20 years. The 20 years come and you say, hey, I haven't changed. What happened? That's not true. From moment to moment, your reality can change. And if you quieten your mind, you don't have to try. You may be walking along the road, and all of a sudden, you have an insight. Right there and then, your life, you have jumped the boundaries of time, gone on to another level of consciousness. You didn't have to wait 20 years. And that's why I'm saying you've jumped the boundaries of time. It's really funny. I don't know where they get the idea. Some people will say, you've got to, you're at least 20 years there. You walk into the doctor next door, and he says, 10 years. Another guy says, well, I might be able to do it in 5. It's all guesswork. And there is no guesswork if you go along with mind, consciousness, and thought. Because it just is. And you can't beat just is. And people say, well, why? It doesn't matter why. It just is. That's a simple answer. You've got to figure it out on your own. I honestly know somebody that was told they would never be okay. They'd never be normal because they were so mixed up, messed up from their past experiences in life. They were told 2 or 3 times they would never be normal. They'd have to be in drugs all their life. They'd have to have shock treatments. They'd have to go to the hospital every so often. Now, as soon as that person was told that, whammo. They're a prisoner of time. They're bound to time. They can't evolve because their thoughts believe this. Their thoughts create the reality. Then somebody comes along and says, that's not true. You can jump the boundaries of time and find it now. And this certain person I know did that. And within 2 or 3 days, she was healthier than most normal people in this world. Way healthier. That's what's happened to a lot of the people I know, the therapists. They were just as mixed up as anybody else. No, I'm not being, honestly, I'm not being sarcastic. Because they went to school and they were told this. And they believed it. And when they came out of school, they believed it so much that they passed it on to other people. Then we all got together, and these certain people, they hear something. They jump the boundaries of time. They become very, very mentally healthy. Because they've found their own wisdom. And only your own wisdom can take you there. Nobody else's wisdom. Your wisdom. You. Always you. It's up to you. I'm going to keep saying that. Because what you're looking for, the spiritual intelligence you're looking for, lives deep in your soul. And if you can see that, you can quiet your mind, deep inside comes out as wisdom, you jump the boundaries of time, you're a healthy human being, and from then on, you will help the world. Just being you. Wisdom isn't taught. It cannot be taught. It's impossible. It must come from you. only from you. And that's a beautiful thing to know, because you're not a prisoner anymore. And if somebody tells you it all happened in the past, you must go back in the past, go through all that hell again. All they're doing is they're tormenting your soul. That's all they're doing. And if you can see that you're a prisoner of the past, and what the past really is, the past is non-existent. It doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. The only thing that exists is the now. And that's why a lot of those wise people have always told you to come back to the now, because the now is all that exists. And if you can come back to the now, what you've done is release all this torment, all these bad memories, you've let them go, and you've got purity of thought. And when you get purity of thought from the now, you see with clarity. You see with wisdom. You see with love. You see with empathy for other human beings. You see their suffering. And when they're suffering, you go and help them. If you have a sister and brother that's suffering, you go in and help them. If you have a neighbor that's suffering, you go in and help them. You have the ability to understand. And it's wisdom that brings the ability to understand. And that wisdom is yours. It is you. It is you before the contamination of thought. Throw these old thoughts away from the past. Forget them. You know how they say, to forgive is to forget? Forgiveness worries a lot of people. I've had people say to me, Sid, I'd come and listen to you if you didn't talk about forgiveness, because I can't forgive what my parents did, or what my uncle did, or what my so-and-so did, or this did. They just don't get it. That they're living in agony because they're hanging on to those thoughts from the past. The thoughts are not real. They're only an illusion in time. Let them go. Then all of a sudden, out there is a different world. You look at your children, you see them different. You look at your spouse, you see them different. You look at humanity, you see it different. Everything is different. Because you've dropped all the contamination from the past, you realize what it is, you've thrown it away, and in its place comes this clarity of thought. And with clarity of thought comes the wisdom to guide you through life. Neutrality is a feeling of love. Now, a lot of people say, wait a minute, I'm in love, but I'm not neutral. That's not what I'm saying. If you meet somebody and you fall madly in love with them, you're not judging them. You're neutral. You're seeing them as beautiful people. But what happens is we meet somebody, we fall in love, and we're very neutral. Our minds are in complete neutral, but we're in the mode of acceptance. And we're accepting whoever we found that we're in love with. And you get married. Then the problems start, even before that. You start judging. And this love starts to dissipate because you're in the mode of judging. If you can see that that mode of judging is only thought and motion, the same love that you had when you first met your spouse will return. And even more so. Every day in life, you have a new chance to fall in love with your spouse, fall in love with your children, fall in love with life. Every day in life, every moment of life. Because a moment in life, as small as it is very valuable. Because I just told you, if you find wisdom, it's in a timeless zone. It's not even a second. Timeless. People said to me, how long was this experience last for you? I can't tell. I can only guess. Maybe 5-6 seconds, if that. But when you're in that, when you find wisdom, you're in a state of no thought. No thought from here. No judgment. No caring. No problems. Completely neutral. Hope is a wonderful thing. Magical. Without hope, you have nothing. So always keep in mind, there's a new life for you just round the corner. And if you have enough hope, enough faith, that life will appear. It's appearing for you now. It appeared for me. And if you get it, you bring hope to your patients. You bring hope to the inmates in jail. You bring hope to the school children. Because as you know, there's a lot of school teachers now helping children. And this is what it's about, helping each other. And the more you can help another human being, the better it is for you. Because you get that feeling. And I've been saying all weekend, it's not an intellectual thing, it's a feeling. And if you get this great feeling, you have a nice feeling today, you walk out that door with that nice feeling and keep it, the wisdom will come. Because it's wisdom that's bringing the feeling. But if you're sitting here all in knots, trying to figure it out, and planning that, oh, I must get this all fixed up, how can I do this, and you've missed it. Missed it completely. Stick to that nice feeling. Don't try and figure it out. And if you stick to that feeling, that means to say that somewhere deep within your consciousness has been touched. And that's the idea, is to touch somebody deep in their consciousness. Deep within their soul, bring them hope. And if you can do that, you'll be blessed. Thank you very, very much for coming. And maybe, God willing, we're still alive. We'll see you next year. Thank you.